one verse of scripture this evening from James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. These people who read this letter were to receive with meekness, or they were to receive the implanted word of God, and they were to receive it in humility. And Paul, or rather James, as he writes, tells them that it has power, that it has power to save their souls. And then he tells them, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. They must not hear it only, but do what it teaches them to do. If they hear and do not do it, they have deceived themselves. And we'll read about that Sunday morning, Lord willing, because James gives an illustration of what it is like to hear and not do. They must hear it and they must do it, because if they hear it and then they do not do it, then there is a form of delusion and self-deception that is involved. James writes, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What is this word that's translated doer? What is a doer? It is a craftsman. It is someone who makes something. It is the same word that we get poet from. And it sounds something like our English poet when we say it, if I could pronounce Greek correctly. So a poetess is someone who makes poetry. They literally produce something. What do they make it out of? What do you make poetry out of? You make it out of words, don't you? You take words, they may be in your mind, they may be in a dictionary, I don't know where they are, but you're going to take words and you're going to put them together and make something out of it. It is someone who performs an action. It is literally someone who does something. So be a doer. Be a doer of what? Be a doer of the word. What is the word? It is the word of God. It is symbolic or synonymous with what Jesus taught and what Jesus did. So here are words. If we are a doer of the word, then we take those words and we do something with those words. We construct something with those words. We become someone who, shall I say, builds something with these words. Let me show you. Suppose that words are pieces of construction material. Words are tuba fours and tuba sixes and shingles and paneling. Could we assemble all of these things in a place and still not have a house? Could we have all the nails and all of the things that it takes to build a house and assemble all of those things and not have a house? Could we have all of the Word of God at our disposal and still not have anything? Could we sit and listen to it over and over and over and over again, just like piling up piles of construction material, and never have anything? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now the word hearers is simply those who listen. And this probably comes out of the practice of the Jews in the synagogue, where their main activity, as we see in the life of Jesus, was to take down the scrolls and unroll them, and from a desk or pulpit, something like this, more out in the center of the building, women on one side, men on the other side, but they're in a prominent place, and it's kind of why we've got pulpits out of that synagogal experience. We just spread the word out, and a person would read it, and they were supposed to give the sense of it, like Ezra did, like Jesus did when he took down the scrolls and read and explained what it meant. They said, why, this man speaks with authority. We haven't had people who have done this. And by that, they meant, here's a man who takes the word down, it's unrolled, he reads from it, and explains to us what it means. But is it possible to simply listen and never build anything with the words that you accumulate in your memory, that you accumulate in your heart? The word not or only is monos, mono, alone, just by itself. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now there is the possibility that you can just hear and hear and hear and hear, but out of all the words you accumulate, you never construct anything out of it. You never build anything out of it. Just like you say, I'm going to build a house, or maybe you don't even make that kind of commitment. You just buy building material. You know, deliver me square shingles, deliver 52 befores. You know, I like building material. It always intrigues me. It's kind of like people who go to church and just sit and listen. I enjoy listening to the Word of God. Just piling up material. Here's a poet who buys all of the books that have words and phrases and things that rhyme and all these, and they just got a whole library full of books, and the books are full of words and phrases and rhymes and appropriate statements. But you say, have you written any poetry? Well, no, I've just got thousands and thousands of words, but I haven't used them to complete anything, to make anything. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers, accumulators only, deceiving your own selves. The word deceiving means to reason beside the point. That is, there is a point, but as you use your reasoning, you miss the point and you do something else. Here is the material, the shingles and all the 2x4s and 2x10s, and you say, oh, here's material. Here's building material. And look at all of these things that I can use to build something. I know I'll build a boat. And so you take the material and you start building a boat, but it's not material to build a boat, it's material to build a house. So you thought you caught the point, you thought you got what this was supposed to do, but you misinterpreted it completely. You got all the materials, but you set out to build something that the material was never meant to build, and therefore you have deceived yourself. You've deluded yourself. Why? Because you missed the point. Deceiving whom? Well, to misjudge through faulty reasoning. Literally is what this means. Who did you deceive? Well, you deceived yourself. You might have been dedicated, you might have been energetic, and you might have entered into the task totally convinced you were going to build a boat. You could see the boat in your mind after it was finished. You had everything. You had commitment and you had enthusiasm and you had the material, and I'm going to build a boat. But that's not what this material was supposed to be used for. And therefore, you know, you're just going to get it to a certain point and you're going to say, well, this doesn't fit together. There's no way in the world you can build a boat out of this unless you're so immature in your judgment, you just nail everything together, and like a 3-year-old, you back off and call it a boat. And everyone else sort of snickers and laughs and says, whatever that is, it is not a boat. But to you, oh, it is. Why? You say, but I believed in what I was doing. I was enthusiastic in what I was doing. But you had the wrong logic. You had seen the wrong thing. Now, before you wonder where I got this at, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Now, here is an example of someone who deceived themselves. Okay. Here's someone who took the words that they heard, evidently in a synagogue, read by a rabbi. Where did they get these words? They're God's word. They didn't get them out of a pornography book. These are words. These are the word. It came from the synagogue. It came from church. Here's all these words that this person heard. But listen. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. See, they heard that word, Lord, Lord. They heard it, and they appropriated it for a purpose, for a task. But they misjudged it and deceived themselves as to what that task was, what that purpose was. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? There's a Bible word, prophesy. They heard the word. They heard the word, Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name. They had some concept of the name, the power that was in the name and in the word Lord. Cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Here were people who had all the material to build something, but they misjudged what it was supposed to build. So when they put it all together, it was insufficient. It didn't work. But they were deluded and deceived. They really thought they had built what they were supposed to build, and they really thought that it would stand the test. But Jesus said, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So here were hearers of the word. But they weren't doers in that they did what they were supposed to do. And in not doing what they were supposed to do, they had judged incorrectly the product that was to come from the words they heard. And so they built it. Well, we'll learn here in a minute. In the wrong place. And that's an example of the deception. Well, here's the illustration that Jesus gave. And I'm sure that James knew very well this teaching of Christ. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. and doeth them. Doeth. He's a doer, a builder. Here's a guy with all the words, so he puts them together, and here's a beautiful poem. And doeth them. I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now here was a hearer and a doer. Let's put it this way. Here's a doer who does. But what does he do? I started to say, what does he does? But what does he do? He builds a house. Because that's what the material is meant to construct. He doesn't try to build a boat. He builds a house. But where does he build the house? There's a point that Jesus wants made, okay? Where does he build this house? Now notice. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Okay. He shall be likened to a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What happened? Well, here was a person who not only built a house, he built it at the right place, on the rock. He obviously didn't delude himself. He didn't take any shortcuts. He didn't forget to consider all the facts. He didn't misapply not only how to put the parts together so it would form a house, but here's a man who put it in the right place so that it's on the right foundation. So he that heareth these words and doeth them not is like a man who builds a house. The man who hears and does is like a man who builds a house. They're both like men who build houses. But the man who didn't do, he didn't put his house at the right place, and therefore there is the delusion of it. He deceived himself. I don't know why he didn't build it somewhere else. Ask these people in California why they don't build their house somewhere else. You know, the ones that hang it on the side of a hill, and then it comes a lot of rain and you see them all plunging down, and you say, why don't you build somewhere else? Stupid. Well, that's beautiful. It's maybe cheap. It's convenient. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to build on that hillside. Build your deck out over it. Man, it's great to walk out there and drink your coffee in the morning. But have you ever thought what would happen when you got a lot of rain? Well, it doesn't rain that much in Southern California. Well, no, it don't, normally. But sometimes it does. These two guys, they got the material. They're going to build a house, and both of them build a house. But one of them just happened to set it in a place that every 100 years or whatever, when it rained, it just it's a place that flooded. And this evidently was like a canyon-like thing that it just was flat and level and maybe convenient and cheap, and boy, just a great place to build, and the birds sing and the sun shines and there's shade on one side, every kind of advantage you can think of. But when the flood comes, it's in the wrong place. He heard and he didn't do, because what he built, he put in the wrong place. Now, we can do a lot of religious things, can't we? Can't we do a lot of religious things? I mean, we can believe the Bible. We can do things that we can find the name of them in the Bible. You can just find, you can just find hundreds of things to do that's religious. And you may even be building a really nice looking house out of all these things you can find that are religious. But if you build it in the wrong place, when the floods come, when the rains come, it won't stand the test. And that obviously is metaphorical for judgment. Like these people, see, they had done many wonderful things and helped and prayed and prophesied, and it all worked. But it was a form of self-delusion. It worked until the judgment. And then Jesus said, "Depart, I never knew you." And it was a total surprise to these people. They were deluded. What is the rock? Well, I don't think we have to find some mountain of material, Brother Gooden, and find out who the rock is. That rock was Christ. That's what Paul said. And that rock was Christ. Whatever you're going to do, if you build it on the church, when the winds come and the rains descend, all that, it's going to be carried away in the flood of judgment. Build it on yourself, build it on your daddy, build it on your mama, build it on your denomination. Whatever you want to build it, you can build it nice and beautiful and put everything in place, but you build it in the wrong place, you're not a doer. Whatever you hope to build and have stand the test at the judgment seat, you better build it on Christ. You better build it on Christ, because He is the rock, and you better build it in faith. Just because you're building doesn't mean you're building the right thing. Just because you say, "Brother Penn, I can quote hundreds of verses of scripture," well, you still don't have a poem. You can say, "I can read the dictionary." What does that prove? That you're a good poet? You hadn't done anything until you put them together. Now, there are people who can quote massive amounts of scripture, but they're hearers. They got tons of material. They've never built a house. They're not doers. They're not accomplishers. They're not manufacturers. They're not completers. And that's what he's talking about here. Receive the implanted word of God with meekness. But don't simply receive it in the ear. In the sense of just hearing it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. I can sit usually just about anywhere I want to around my house, and I can hear all kinds of birds singing. I can hear the crows crowing. But you know, I don't think just sitting on my porch for hours at a time and listening to the birds sing, the crows cawing, that I will eventually become a bird. Any of y'all think that'll happen? Say, "Yeah, one of these days you'll be a bird with feathers and everything. You can fly all over the place." Well, listen. If you think you can sit in these pews and hear the word of God and become a Christian, then I'll let you come out to my house so you can listen to the birds sing, hoping you'll become a bird. And you have just as much chance. That if listening to something makes you that, then listen to a bird sing believing that you'll fly someday is just as sensible as saying, "If I listen to the word of God enough, I'll become a Christian." No, you won't. Not until you take the words and construct something out of it, and whatever you construct out of it better be built on Jesus Christ. And we'll look at this a little bit more next Sunday, because I think this is very important, because I think a lot of people are deluded. I'm not saying you. I'm saying I think in the religious world there are a lot of people who are deluded.